inspiring interviews with today's top landlords.
This is the Rental Income Podcast.
And now, Dan Lane.
Nick, you've reached what you call level one financial independence. Can you tell us what that means?
Yeah, so I think for us, it's, we've got enough rentals and rental income to, you know, sort of cover our basic bills and whatnot, right? Like we can pay our mortgage where we live, you know, our energy bills, our phone bills, car insurance, stuff like that, with the rental income. And, you know, it's reassuring to know that, like, if one of us got hurt, you know, we're in that position. We feel fortunate that, you know, we could at least, you know, pay our bills, right? So
you wouldn't consider yourself completely financially free. You've really just kind of got the basics covered, right?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, we know we've got a long way to go and towards our goals and, you know, on this real estate journey, but yeah, I mean, it's exciting. It's motivating to kind of get to where we are and see where we're going to go.
I really like the way that Nick's looking at things. And on the podcast today, we're going to figure out how Nick got to where he is today. We'll talk about what types of properties he's buying. We'll look at his portfolio. We'll go over all of his numbers. We'll talk about how he's financing properties and how he self-manages his portfolio. Joining us on the show today from Baltimore is Nick DeNicola. We'll take a really quick break to thank our sponsors. We'll come right back and we'll talk to Nick. It's a lot of work to find a really good rental property. And when you actually find that property, you want to make sure you're working with a lender that can get that loan closed. The lender that I recommend is Chaley Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. She's a nationwide lender and her specialty is helping investors finance rental properties. She has a ton of loan programs and she can find something customized to you for your situation. If you want to find out more or you're ready to get started today, just go to ridgelendinggroup.com. That's R-I-D-G-E lendinggroup.com. NMLS 42056.
Rental Income Podcast.
Nick, so I think you've got a really interesting way to look at life that, you know, a lot of people think that you need financial freedom and you either have it or you don't. But it sounds like what you're saying is that you don't have 100% financial freedom, but you have a little margin in your life to be able to pursue what it is that you want to do.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, you know, my wife and I were able to start two businesses this year. And, you know, I don't think we would have been able to do that had we not, you know, positioned ourselves with these rentals and had the rental income that we're bringing in right now. So, you know, I think that's sort of a intangible, if you will, when people talk about financial freedom, like just having more options, right? And I guess the time, you know, because I don't have to work a W-2 job.
You know, it's interesting to think about that. There really are so many different levels of financial freedom. And it's like you got the most basic level where everything's covered, but I guess there would be financial freedom where you're living your life the way it is now. And then there's probably a top level of financial freedom where you're flying around on private jets. So it's really interesting to think about that, you know, level one financial freedom really has just opened things up for you to pursue businesses and to pursue things that you're interested in.
Exactly. I mean, going back to just, you know, I think something my wife and I worry about or talk about is that, you know, what if one of us got hurt or sick or something?
Yeah.
You know, we've all had family members that have gone through stuff, and it's, you know, it's nice to know that, look, we can at least pay our basic bills. We can pay our mortgage, we can pay our energy bills, and, you know, and get by if something bad really happened.
Yeah. I love
obviously
it.
We want to keep building on that and, you know, hopefully set our family up and so on. But,
yeah. So I was going to, that actually kind of prompts my next question. So like, what is your ultimate goal? Like, is there a certain level of financial freedom that you're striving to get to?
It's such a great question. It's a tough question because you know, everyone talks about how you've got to be clear about your goals. And I think I've struggled with this for a long time because it's like, well, I just want to keep going, you know,
yeah.
see what we can do and see what, you know, possibilities or opportunities come our way. So I think overall it would just be to be in a place where, like right now I'm a realtor, right? So I've got to bring in an income still. And I work pretty hard at that, but I would love to be in a position where, you know, I was just maybe a real estate investor full time, right?
Sure.
Where I'm just looking for the next deal and,
yeah.
and you know, trying to just get involved in bigger projects and whatnot.
Yeah.
So I think that would be kind of the dream goal.
You know, being a realtor and having a real estate license is really like it complements owning rental properties so well because as a realtor, you're going to have good months. You're going to have bad months. You might have a few months with mm-hmm. no closings. And just knowing that you have your basics covered has got to just be a really good feeling.
100%.
Yeah.
You know, we hear the statistics all the time that, you know, there's not a lot of realtors don't make it past. I want to say it's like the third year.
Mm-hmm.
Could be wrong about
yeah.
that. But, and then, you know, with what we're seeing right now with the rates and all, I think you're going to see a lot of folks dropping out of the industry. And so it's not an easy business, you know, you've got to hustle and, but you're right. I mean, I'm fortunately kind of in a different situation where I'm not stressing about if I have to, you know, if I make the quota every
well,
month or
let's,
whatnot.
Let's figure out how you got there. So let's start by taking a look at your portfolio. Can you tell me about your portfolio right now?
Yeah. So, between my wife and I, we have a total of 12 rental units, and they're all based in Baltimore County, just outside of Baltimore City. They're kind of most are like 3-bedroom, 1 or 2-bath row homes. That's sort of the sweet spot, with, you know, target property we look for.
Okay.
And I've just kind of, you know, over the years, just it was slow for a while where I would, you know, I'd find a deal, okay, cool, and get it stabilized, then maybe a year later find another one. And then more recently I was able to take advantage of the low interest rates and do some refinancing and kind of scale our portfolio.
How long did it take you to get to where you are today?
I purchased my first home in 2008.
Okay.
Right as things were sort of crashing. And it taught me a lot because it's like, you know, you learn about the market and that was, I lived in that property. So it was a learning experience about how to rent that property and become a landlord. So that was really interesting. And,
so timing wise, have you been buying like a house or two a year?
It's not as consistent as that.
Okay.
When I look back on all the deals, it's just kind of like, they feel sort of random, to be honest,
mm-hmm.
you know,
okay.
until more recently.
Okay. Well, let's take a look at your numbers and see how your cash flow works. So when you add up your total rent for all your rental units, how much gross rental income do you bring in every month?
Yep. We gross about $17,300.
Okay. Do you have anything paid off or do you have mortgages on all the properties?
They all have mortgages. I previously had one paid off, but then I pulled the equity out and we bought more properties.
Okay.
So
awesome. So how
yeah.
much are your total for all your mortgage payments?
Just over 10,000, about 10,200.
Okay.
So in my mind, it feels like we're cash flowing roughly 5,600. That's after setting aside about 20% for maintenance and vacancy.
Okay. So 20%, like how do you do that? Is it 20% off the top or is it 20% of your cash flow?
So I actually do it 20% out of the cash flow, which, you know, I think, you know, other landlords might do it out of their gross rent and be more conservative. I just take it out of the cash
yeah,
flow.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's got a different way to do that. And it's always interesting when I ask that question because we get a ton of different answers. So how has that been working out for you? Like that money that you're setting aside, has that been able to cover everything?
Yes and no. I think, you know, every property is so different. So there's, you know, some where I've barely spent any money at all, and others where I've had to replace all sorts of stuff. Right. Mm-hmm. So, I think overall, you know, I'm probably break even with the money I set aside. But then again, because we bought, quite a few properties in the last year or so, we've been kind of spending a lot of cash to get these properties stabilized, right? And, mm-hmm. and get them up to par so that they're ready to be leased. I don't know if that really is considered maintenance or not, but.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Personally, I mean, everyone's got a different way of doing it, and what's working for you is working for you. But when I buy a property, I look at the money that I'm putting into that property as kind of separate money, and mm-hmm. then the money that generates, I set some of that aside for maintenance. But hey, this is working for you, and so
no complaints over here. But yeah. You know, I think again, you know. What I love about this whole industry is that there's just like, there's no one way to do anything.
Right. Absolutely.
And I feel like I'm constantly learning. Like, I don't know, you know, crap, you know, I just know a little bit about a little bit. Right.
And, mm-hmm.
Right. And it works. So, you know, if the more you educate yourself, it only gets better.
Right. So tell me again what your cash flow is like after you set your money aside for repairs.
Got about $5,600.
Okay, so that $5,600 is basically that's covering your basic living expenses.
Yeah, that's going to cover our mortgage where we live, energy bills, car insurance, phone bills. You know, our even our food that we purchase.
Yeah. How much is your mortgage payment for your house?
It is just over $900.
$900. Okay. Have you ever thought about maybe house hacking or, you know, maybe buying a duplex and living in one side just to
get... Yeah. I mean, I love the idea. I love the concept. And I know it's a great way, you know, to get ahead. I don't think we've really found that right opportunity yet. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're always open to that, I think, and always looking for maybe where our next stop will be. But... what we found here in Baltimore, you know, we're pretty happy with our housing costs. You know, at some point, if kids come in the picture, we might look for somewhere that's got a little bit better school systems. But for right now, we really like it.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like you're doing good. $900 a month, I think, is a pretty reasonable mortgage. Well, that's really awesome. I mean, $5,600 a month, and that's covering all your basics. Now, tell me more about the rentals you're buying. Like, what would a perfect property look like? You mentioned that they're row houses. Like, is there a certain type of neighborhood that you're looking to buy in?
Yeah. So fortunately I grew up kind of near where we live and I'm pretty familiar with the different neighborhoods. So, you know, I there's quite a few of these red brick row home communities in Baltimore County. And, you know, a lot of them are just solid working class neighborhoods. And, I've found that I get quality tenants, you know, working class folks that like, they want to pay their bills and they want to do good. And, you know, I think as I've gotten more experience in my screening process, I just found good people to live in our homes, and we've had a good run here. I don't want to jinx it, but, you know, we were able to keep collecting rent through COVID, had to lower it for a few folks whose, you know, work I realized was being impacted. But we worked through it, you know, and they kept their part of the deal and I kept mine. And, I just feel so fortunate to, you know, have those folks with me.
Right. And so you're not doing Section 8, like these are cash paying tenants.
That's correct. Okay. Yep. They're all sort of market tenants. Now, COVID did kind of open my eyes to the idea of trying to diversify more and maybe do some Section 8 properties because I knew some guys locally that have a ton of Section 8, you know, and when COVID happened, they didn't have to worry at all about collecting their rent, you know, right. their money was good. So I'm sure that's a nice feeling too.
Yeah, you know, it's always good to diversify. I think the more income streams that you have, the better. So yeah, that I think would be something to look at. Mm-hmm. So would you say your neighborhoods are like B-class neighborhoods?
B B2C.
B2C, yep. Okay.
Somewhere in that in between, probably.
Okay.
B2C.
Well,
yeah.
Let's take a look at one of your deals. I know there was a deal that that you were going to share with us. For this property, how did you end up, or maybe tell us about the property.
Sure. So it's kind of what I mentioned, right? It's a brick row home, 3-bedroom, 1-bath. It's actually in the same neighborhood that we live in. And we found this property because through talking to our neighbors, when we moved here, we kind of became friendly with all of our neighbors. And I actually ended up buying one of my neighbor's homes because she was retiring and looking to downsize. We've stayed good friends, and this subject property that we're talking about came up because her and her brother inherited it from their parents, and she was like, "Well, we just want to sell it." And I said, "Well, we'd love to buy it."
Yeah.
You know, and you know, numbers wise, as far as purchase price, I think we're around like $153,000, and while that's not a home run, it's a good deal. And not having to compete against, I mean, Baltimore feels like, you know, it feels like it's a pretty investor saturated market. There's mm-hmm. just guys everywhere that are ready to pounce on deals. So not having to compete against people is a win in itself, you know?
Right.
So how
did you finance this property?
So my wife's actually purchasing this one, and she's just doing a standard conventional financing, 15% down, 30-year mortgage.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Is that how you finance most of your properties? Like, have you just been putting down 15 or 20%?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So nothing...
All of them are you know, Fannie Freddie loans on 30-year mortgages.
Now, you mentioned that your wife is buying this one. So do you have certain properties that you buy in your name and then other properties that she buys in her name?
Yeah, we're sort of, you know, it's always an interesting thing to talk about. Why don't you guys just do them together? Why do you have everything separate? You're married. Well, it seems like, and again, I could be wrong about this, but it seems like we'll be able to purchase more properties if we keep them separate.
Absolutely.
If we keep them in our own personal names.
And, you know, let me explain that for anyone that maybe doesn't understand. So
sure.
With Chaley Ridge always refers to the Fannie and Freddie loans, the first 10 loans, as your golden tickets. And mm-hmm. what that means is that these are the loans that are going to be the best rate and term. They're the golden tickets. I mean, these are like the best loans. And each person can get 10 loans in their name. So if you bought the properties together as a couple, you would only be able to buy 10 properties because you would, even though you're separate people, you're buying them together and you would max out your 10 golden tickets, where it's really smart the way that you're buying them separately because you each have 10 golden tickets. So
yeah. And I think that is one of our goals, is to sort of max that out and, you know, get to 20. Mm-hmm. If we can,
yeah,
you know, and then kind of move on to whatever is next, whether it's, you know, hard money or some sort of portfolio loans.
Yeah, there's lots of options when you get past that, but that's great. Okay, so you're buying 15% down. How much is your mortgage payment on this property?
So it's going to come in just over $1,000.
Okay, and that includes everything: the principal, interest, taxes, and insurance.
Yep.
You're all in.
Yep. All that's rolled in.
Okay.
And then, you know, our goal is to rent it for hopefully $1,900 a month.
Perfect.
Probably safely around $1,800. The rents have really increased a lot around here, and it's, you know, a pretty in demand market. So you got a lot of folks looking for housing.
So this is a property that you're getting ready to close on?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yep. A few weeks here.
Does it need any work?
A little bit. It's in pretty good shape overall. We'll probably go in, repaint the entire place, upstairs. It's got original hardwood floors. So the staircase and the bedrooms upstairs, we'll refinish and just put like a new, you know, sheen and a polish on those floors and get them looking good. Some of the basement's kind of like a half and half. Half of it's like an unfinished mechanical space. The other half is like a finished room. So I'll probably have to refinish that ceiling down there, but mechanically, everything's in good shape. you know, I was just in there today, actually, the AC's pumping. I was like, heck yeah. Awesome. You know, it's nice and cool. So that's always a good sign.
Yeah. Are you doing the work yourself, or do you have contractors?
Yeah. So a little bit of both. I kind of came up in construction. But I've got a lot of contractors that I'm close with. So depending what the task is, I'll either do myself or hire guys.
Now, a few minutes ago, you mentioned something about screening that you've gotten better at screening. So have you had difficulties with tenants, with finding good tenants, or maybe in the beginning, did you have difficulties?
Yeah. So in the earlier on in, you know, my experience as a landlord, I definitely made some mistakes, and I was just flat out lazier in how I screened folks. And, you know, it would bite me when I would do that. So, yeah, fortunately I, you learn through your mistakes. Right. And,
so what were you, what were you not doing in the beginning?
Just not even like, not as diligent, not as, detailed in my screening. You know, I remember I'll tell the story of this guy, you know, he was a veteran, right? And I was like, great, you know, this is awesome. And he was showing me his, I don't know if it was GI Bill or it was just his, I think he had disability from the Army or whatnot. And, and he showed me the form and he showed me all the money that he was going to be getting. I'm like, oh, this is awesome. But what I failed to realize is this guy had, you know, he owed a ton of child support to multiple people. And so he didn't even get any of that money. And so he was a little bit of a pro at, you know, figuring out how to stay in properties for a while. And he definitely took me for a ride. I think it took me roughly 6 months before I finally got him out.
Wow.
And that was just me being, you know, green and not knowing the eviction process at the time and when to file what forms and whatnot. But I went through that and learned a lot. Yeah. So again, you know, it sucks that I had to go through that, but it was valuable.
How would you avoid that today? Cause I'm just thinking like, if he came to me and he showed me his paperwork, like how would you know that he owes child support?
That's a tough one. Well, you know, you can do your case, you can search the courts you know, I think a fair amount of information will come up on like in Maryland here. What is it? Maryland judiciary search.
If anybody wants to connect with Nick, or if you're interested in investing in Baltimore and you want to talk to a good realtor, I think Nick would be an awesome contact for you. I've got his contact information on the website. You can find it at rentalincomepodcast.com/episode388. If Nick inspired you and you're ready to buy your first rental property or you want to add to your portfolio, the lender that I recommend is our sponsor today. It's Chaley Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. Chaley is a nationwide lender, and her specialty is helping investors finance rental properties. She has a ton of different loan programs. She has a program similar to what Nick used, where you only need a 15% down payment. Of course, she's got regular 30-year fixed loans. She's got loans where she won't check your income and your tax return. She's really just going to look at the deal, and she wants to see if the property cash flows. If it does, she'll give you a 30-year fixed rate loan. Definitely reach out to Chaley and see what she can do for you. If you want to track her down, just go to RidgeLendingGroup.com. That's RIDGE, LendingGroup.com, NMLS 42056. Thank you so much for checking out the podcast today. Make sure you hit that follow button, and you'll be notified every single Tuesday when I put out a new episode. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.